control. I put my reassurance. Got it all in control. We believe that tonight. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back together again this evening. If you wouldn't mind standing once again, we're going to read from 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 9, and 2 Peter, the second chapter, verse 4. Ben and Allie are in Dallas now on their way back, so this is that traveling time of the year, eh? So we pray for safe travels home. Sure, I've been enjoying our grandkids. We're wore out, but we sure are enjoying our. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation. How many believes that?
Amen.
A royal priesthood.
Yes.
And holy nation. A peculiar people. Bunch of oddballs. Compared to the world. That's a compliment. That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Isn't this light marvelous? Hallelujah. That darkness was gross darkness. But this is marvelous light. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Recall, to be reserved means so kept that they cannot escape. So they're in this fifth dimension. They can't escape. There's no mercy. There's no do-over. There's no redemption. They just got to wait. Delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Unto judgment, that of the last day, the time of their full torment. So they're tormented right now. But there will come a time of their full torment in which the wrath of God, which they feel in a great measure now, will come upon them to the utmost. Recall, as we looked at this morning, we are feeling the influence and the effects of this fifth dimension. These demons have access to the dimension that we live in. And we can feel what they feel. And if we're not careful, we'll let them convince us that that's what we're feeling is what we're feeling. Instead of recognizing it for what it is. It's a demon. And if I was in chains of darkness and I was kept so that I could not escape and there was no hope and no future, yeah, I'd be depressed too. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, as we come back together for this evening service, we pray, Lord, that your blessings would be upon each and every one of us once again, that you would anoint our hearts, Lord, that you would anoint your word, and Father, that you would bring your word, you'd quicken it and bring it to pass in our lives, we pray. Father, draw us closer to you. Help us to see our day and its message. Help us to see what you've equipped us with. Help us to see our position, our authority, our inheritance. And help us, Lord, to be bold and to take that faith and walk in what you've called us to walk in this marvelous light that we're in the midst of here this evening. And we know that that light casts out darkness. That light drives away darkness. And it is a marvelous light. And it's a peaceful light. It's a joyful light. It's a life-giving light. And so, Lord, we pray that each and every one would draw from your strength tonight, Lord. Draw from the virtue that you've provided in your body. Father, that we would each get what we have need of from the body this evening. And Lord, we surely will give you all praise and honor and glory. Bless each and every one, we pray. We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So this would be Kingdoms at War, Part 4. Kingdoms of War, Part 4. And we kind of laid a foundation this morning for some things that we want to speak about here tonight for a few minutes. I tell you, friends, it's good to be in the hands of our Father. I sure do remember what it was like to be lost, what it was like to be confused, what it was like to walk in darkness, what it was like to be fearful, what it was like to not know who to trust, what to put confidence in. I even had thoughts growing up that I wondered, how do I know that I'm not just in a one night's dream somewhere else, and all of this is one night's dream, and then I'm going to wake up and then have to go through all this again. What a terrifying thought. What an awful thought. But I had no way to, I had nothing to bounce that off of. It was a thought that came through, just like many other thoughts. I had no anchor. I had no ultimate at that time in my life. I was 5, 6 years old, I think, and it was just prior to my parents giving their hearts to the Lord and starting to go to the Baptist church and starting to teach us from the Word. So what a hopelessness. What a darkness that we walk in. And it's getting darker and darker and darker. But what a light that we're walking in. And it's getting brighter and brighter and brighter. We know that judgment is coming for those that go their own way. But we also know that our Father is just in all of His ways. And knowing the nature of our Father, we know for a certainty that there will be nobody in hell that does not deserve to be there. There will be nobody in hell that does not choose to go to hell because they're given the opportunity to make a choice, and they're making their choice. And yet, on the other hand, we know that actually when it comes right down to it, all of us deserve to go to hell. But God is a God of amazing grace, and He's a God of mercy, and He has delivered us from darkness into this marvelous light by His choosing. So whenever we get the feeling that life isn't fair, especially if you tend to have a bit of a melancholic nature to you, we get the feeling that life isn't fair or that we deserve to be treated better by others, we have but to stop and just remind ourselves, you know what? All of us deserve death. And we're not getting what we deserve. So what are we crying about? Therefore, any good thing that happens to us along the way, well, that's just a gift. We don't deserve it. Now, when that breaks on you, it'll give you a peace. When that breaks on you, it'll break you from that always constantly looking at the glass half empty and why am I this way and why am I that way, looking at the negative. It'll break you from that because you realize what God has done for you and what He's doing for you. A gift beyond the life that we have been freely given. Just for somebody to treat us nicely, for somebody to do us a favor, for somebody to be thoughtful towards us. We don't deserve it, right? In this age that we live in, where the sun is setting and darkness, light is actually pressing against the darkness, we can see the influences in the very nature, as we spoke of this morning, of the fifth dimension and of fifth dimensional beings as their influence is felt in these four dimensions of space, time, light, and matter that we inhabit. Imagine when Brother Branham, recall when Brother Branham was 14 and he was involved in that accident with his friend Jimmy Poole. They were crossing over a fence. They had been out hunting and I think Jimmy left a loaded shotgun. He leaned it up against the fence. And, of course, they teach you in the hunter safety course. that you unload your weapon before trying to pass it through a fence or whatever. You never lean it against the fence. You lay it down on the ground, and you go through the fence, and or you hand it over to somebody that's already crossed over to the other side, unloaded, of course. But it was an accident. They were young boys, and Jimmy had left to lean the shotgun against the barbed wire fence, and somehow in the crossing, the shotgun came down, it went off, and it just happened to be aimed at Brother Branham's the muscles on the back of his legs, and blew a good portion of that off, blew part of his pants into the muscle tissue, and he was in the hospital. And just to make a long story short, he was dying. They tried to stop the bleeding. They tried to clean the wounds, and he kept sinking lower and lower and lower. They had to give him blood, and then he got an infection because the pieces of his pants and the wadding from the shotgun shell and what have you was in his muscle tissue, and they had to go back in and open it up again and clean that out. But Brother Branham was dying. He was going into the regions of the lost. He was going into the fifth dimension. His pulse was getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And he heard, as he's falling, this is his description, he heard the weary sounds of the inhabitants in this fifth dimension. And he saw how some of these women looked. He saw how they were faces were painted, in his terminology, how they had mascara and different colorings on their eyes, how they had certain hairdos, and he screamed out for mercy. He said it was a horrible feeling, a horrible place. He screamed out for mercy, and he told the Lord if he saved him. First of all, he tried to defend himself. He thought of the only thing that he could come up with. He didn't say, Lord, I never lied, I never cheated, I never stole. He said, Lord, I never did commit adultery. You know, as if that one thing is going to save you. And recall, he was 14 years old, and if the Lord didn't get a hold of him, and if there wasn't a call in his life, who knows what would have happened. But that was his defense. Lord, I never did commit adultery. But then he cried out, and he said, Lord, if you will save me, I will serve you. And I will give my heart to you. And we know that a period of time afterwards, he did. He actually kind of drug his feet on that for a little bit, but he eventually did give his heart to the Lord. That was in 1923 or so. And then in October of 1963, so 40 years later, Brother Branham and his wife, they were shopping in JCPenney that used to be here in Tucson in a mall. And they were coming down an escalator, and he sees women in the store on this escalator or standing near the escalator, and they look just like what he saw in the fifth dimension when he was 14 years old and he was dying. And what he sees has such an effect on him that he tells his wife, honey, I got to go sit down. It just causes him to almost feel like fainting. And then eventually he leaves JCPenney altogether because he saw in this dimension what he saw in that dimension. So it's showing us. So this is 40 years prior to seeing this scene here on the earth. He'd seen it in the fifth dimension. And this shows us what the influence is of that fifth dimension on this present realm that we live in, and how hell is actually spilling into this dimension. The effects of the fifth dimension are spilling into this dimension. Previews of coming things. Now, people today would laugh in your face if you were to tell them that being sexually dressed, a woman wearing shorts and having a, you know, some kind of a hairdo, a painted face, that he saw those women in hell. People would just laugh in your face. They'd call you an old crank. They'd call you a fuddy-duddy. They'd call you a legalist, perhaps. And they would likely say, you know, God don't care about those things. God knows my heart. Yes, he does. But the problem is you don't know your heart. And there's nothing wrong with dressing this way. Of course, we know that that's what the Laodicean age says in general. They're naked, wretched, blind, poor. and don't know it. And they claim they have need of nothing. And they'll tell you to mind your own business. Well, that is our business. To tell them, you know what? You don't change your ways. You're headed for the falls. And then again, we recall that he went into the sixth dimension. As you will recall this morning, the fifth dimension used to be segregated into two parts. There was an upper and lower Sheol. Everyone who died went into that dimension. The upper part was where the Old Testament saints went, and the lower part was where those souls that were imprisoned, that were waiting judgment. There was a gulf in between it. You could hear across that gulf what was going on in the lower regions. The upper region was also called paradise. But then when Jesus died on the cross, he went down and emptied out paradise and took all those that were in the upper part of the fifth dimension, and they moved into another dimension called the sixth dimension. And that's where they're at tonight. And recall this morning that we know that we are influenced by these fallen angels that have been cast into darkness, into this fifth dimension. They've been cast down into a lower dimension than the one they once inhabited. And we are influenced physically and spiritually by these demons. But by the same token, we are also influenced by what is in the sixth dimension tonight, which is also where your theophany is, which is also synonymous with heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's also the position of the believer in Christ. So, when Brother Branham went into the sixth dimension, which he termed as going beyond the curtain of time, what he sees there is also showing its influence on the present realm that you and I live in. There are righteous sons and daughters of God on the earth tonight that are clothed in garments that are clean and white, just as he said they would be. Sons and daughters that are at peace. Sons and daughters that are filled with joy unspeakable. Sons and daughters whose souls are at rest, who are not fearful, who are not worried, who are not discontent. People who are reflecting divine order in their lives. People who are reflecting divine harmony, brotherly love, godly virtues. And they are being influenced by the sixth dimension. Now, friends, think about it for a moment. All of us would agree that we've been influenced by that fifth dimension. All of us would agree that evil spirits want to anoint us, that they have access to our flesh, our spirit realm, and that's where the great battle is being fought. So if we can accept that, why can't we accept that greater is he that is in me than he is in the world? Why can't we accept that God has something better for you and greater for you? So these fifth dimension demons, they are assigned now to afflict, to pester, to discourage, to invade the body with sickness and diseases. And their time, think about this for a moment, friends, their time is extremely limited. There's no escape from that realm. There's no escape from the judgment. There's no mercy, no grace. There's no second chance. There's no redemption. They have but a little space of time. So they're going to make the best of it, as far as they're concerned. But on the other hand, recognize tonight, we have the authority tonight over those fallen spirits, and they must back away. But you must exercise that authority. You must recognize that you have that authority. If we doubt, if we wonder, if we play the victim card, well, then they can stay right where they are and they can continue to pester, annoy, disturb, bother, afflict. Think about if somebody told you one day that you owned some apartment buildings. You inherited these buildings from a relative, let's say. And let's say maybe you didn't even know that you had this relative, let alone the property that now belongs to you that was once theirs. You inherited it. Now, imagine that there's tenants living in these apartments. And there's one tenant in particular that's a bad tenant. Won't pay the rent, tearing up the place, tormenting, parties all night, causing lots of trouble. Now, what if you weren't sure that you were the legal owner of the apartment building? And the tenant knew that you weren't sure. What if you could not prove that you were the owner when you met with that tenant? Well, that tenant would likely stay right where they're at. Say, I don't have to go anywhere. Have you ever noticed how bold evil spirits are? When they anoint people? These crazy LGBTQ, RS, TUV, WXYZ, they're in your face. When I was a child in the 60s, the lie that they were telling is, look, we don't expect you to accept us for what we are. We don't expect you to approve of it, but just leave us alone. Just let us coexist. They're in your face now. They don't want to coexist. Bold, brassy, in your face. Here, you know, if there really are truly people that fall into this category, it's less than 1% of the population. And yet that's 99% about what we hear in the news. It's not live and let live. It's to tear down. These evil spirits are bold. They're shockingly bold at times. And we see examples of it all the way through the scriptures. Goliath was shockingly bold until David told him, I know what my position is. And I know yours is too. Once you recognize your position, once you recognize your authority, once you recognize what belongs to you, and you have proof because the word backs you up, well, now it's time, as we've said before, to enforce the claims that Calvary has made on your behalf. And all of the sixth dimension is waiting to back you up. But you have to take a stand. You have to say, be it unto me according to thy word. We don't have to put up with these fallen angels, friends. These angels that are chained in darkness and are reserved unto judgment. So let's peek out the window for a moment tonight as the blinds are open to us through a gift of God that was given to a prophet. Message, pillar of fire. Brother Branham said, how do you do, lady? Are we strangers? 5 years ago when we was here, I saw you went through a line or something. You was healed then. Between you and I comes a dark shadow. It's shaking and jumping. There's only one thing that can mean that. That's a demon. And that's a demon of nervousness. I hope somebody's listening tonight. We think, well, I've always been that way. Well, maybe you've always had a demon. Oh, you're being mean to me. No, I'm talking to the demon right now, not you. You don't want to be nervous, right? That's a demon of nervousness. Is that right? You think sometimes that you've lost your mind. Is that right? But he's a liar. You're not. You're just as sane as anybody else. But he's trying to get you down, lady. Friends, if you let those demons do that to you, they will do that to you. But you don't have to let them do that. Don't you pay no attention to that, he says. Do you believe me to be his servant? Looky, let me tell you something. You've tried so long to even get one place you thought. Just like you put your foot that you could start from there. Isn't that right? I'm not reading your mind, but you was praying about that. That's right. You said many times in your thoughts in there, if I could just get one place to start from. This is your starting place right here. God's servant. Thou devil, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are exposed. come out of the woman, leave her, go rejoicing, sister, you're free now. It's that simple. You don't actually need a prophet to set you free from that. The gift that the prophet was exercising was to be able to tell her what was going on. But friends, if you're nervous all the time, we can tell you here tonight. We don't need a prophet to tell you that. If you're nervous all the time, there's a demon that's afflicting you. God did not make you to be nervous all the time. We may have in our nature tendencies that way. But we don't, if you've been born again of the Spirit of God, what does peace mean? What does joy mean? What does rest mean? What does it mean to have no fear? What does it mean to be comforted? You can't have night fears and be comforted at the same time. I'm not picking on anybody here tonight. I had night fears. I've been set free. I've been taken out of darkness into the light. And in the light, there's no nervousness. In the light, there's no fears. In the light, there's no worry. In the light, there's no I wonder. In the light, there's no doubt. All that is in darkness. But we've been taken out of that darkness into the marvelous light. So let's walk in this light as He is in the light. Let's walk in our position and in our authority. Friends, it would be just criminal for Jesus to purchase all of this, bring it back, restore us back to our position, and we say, I don't know what I have. I don't know what I can. These devils, I don't even know that it's a devil. I'm just depressed all the time. It's criminal because He died for that. He paid the price to set you free from that. But you're the one that has to walk in it. You're the one that has to recognize it for what it is. You're the one that has to say, God, I don't know how you're going to do this for me, but I'm not going to walk that. I'm not going to be that way anymore. Come on, church, help me out. This demon was once in a God-assigned and God-chosen position. And things were good. Why would we want to leave the light of the hour to become a demon of nervousness? This demon lays down streaks of darkness everywhere that it goes. And Brother Branham, as we went through it in the last service, this morning and the previous one, these dark streaks are demons. And Brother Branham saw them time and time again on Christians. He saw light and he says, yet I see a shadow or I see a dark streak. That's darkness trying to coexist with light. But that light is to drive that darkness away. So that dark streak did not possess that woman's soul. But it followed her. And it left this streak everywhere she went, anointing her with these thoughts. And friends, others can sense that. When they get around people that are carrying these things, this isn't criticism, it's not condemnation, it's just recognizing we're in a battle. And the fifth dimension has, the fifth dimension demons have every right to try to afflict you. But it's up to you to cast them down. It's up to you to recognize, you know what, I don't have to, I'm a sixth dimension creature myself. I'm born from above. I refuse to think dark thoughts. I refuse to believe that I'm a loser. I refuse to believe that I have to be tormented all the time. Come on, friends. These demons, though, and this is what we're trying to bring across, because 9/10 of the battle is just recognition of it many times. These demons are so convincing that they can actually convince tender hearts that they are something that they're not. Well, I've always been this way. Well, you've always had this anointing on you. I didn't say you're a bad person. You didn't do anything. And I'm right there with you. Been there, done that. And no, I don't want the t-shirt. Now, where were these people that disbelieved the sign when these things were taking place? When people were getting set free. Nervousness. Depression. Sickness. Can these people that disbelieve the sign, can they tell us what our thoughts are? Can they set us free of an affliction? Unless they are connected with demons that might be attacking us, and those demons are pulling together, and they wouldn't be reading our thoughts, but they would tell us the thoughts that the demons are presenting to us, and then claim that they are our thoughts. But they're not reading your mind, because the devil can't read your mind. But a demon knows what kind of thoughts are presenting to you. Let's look through another window, shall we? The manifestation of the resurrection to the people of this day. That's a nice long title. Brother Brown says, the only thing, sir, listen to this. The only thing, sir, you think deep and you cross bridges before you get to them. I wish everybody was here tonight. The only thing, sir, you think deep, you cross bridges before you get to them, taking other things upon your heart. What does that result in? Worry. Where does it say in writing somewhere that it's your day to worry? Who told you that you need to worry about these things? You're thinking about things that you have no business thinking about. And yet some of us, because of our nature, some of us will have the tendency to take these things on, and then we come up for prayer, we battle, we don't get any sleep, and we're worrying about things that we have no business worrying about. And there's nothing that we could do about it regardless. And God is our strength and God is our comfort. And He doesn't want you worrying. Take no thought for tomorrow, for the evil of today is sufficient thereof. The only thing, sir, you think deep. You cross bridges before you get to them. Well, on the one hand, this, and on the other hand, that, and on the other foot, this. And where does that end? Which one of us can foresee the future? Raise your hand. If you can foresee the future, raise your hand. Then why are you looking into it? What you're doing is you're allowing a demon to cause you to worry about the future that is in God's hands. You're always planning something that never happens. We got a lot of planners here tonight. Got some that are missing. I wish they were here. I hope they listen to this. Some of the best planners I've ever run into in my life. Worried sick. You're always planning something that never happens. It's only mentally nervous. Listen to this. It shows that it's a mental battle. It's a mental nervousness. That is right. You've been that way for years. But Jesus Christ is here to take it off of you. There's a dark shadow that follows you all the time. You know what? And I can see it around people that worry. It is. I don't see a dark shadow, but you can see the effect on the people. You're always trying to cheer them up. But friends, if they insist on holding on to that thing, if somebody's down on the ground and you reach down and you try and pull them up, if they don't want to get up, what's going to happen? You might get pulled down if you don't let go. But you're not going to pull them up. Listen to this. You're conscious that something's near you like that all the time. At all times. Do you believe that God's going to take it from you now? Satan, leave this man. Come out of him. In the name of Jesus Christ, go out of the man. I adjure thee by the living God that you torment him no more. Now he thinks it's him. But it's a demon. Raise up your hand, sir. You're free for the first time since you was a child. Amen. Go on your road rejoicing. Amen. It's that simple. Amen. 9/10 of it is recognition. What's happening is the light's getting turned on and the demon's exposed. Amen. Demons don't like light. Amen. They flee from light. So these things have to be preached. These things have to be addressed. Well, that's why I don't come to church. Well, that's why you're miserable. It's that demon that doesn't want to come to church. Because that demon knows it's going to have to go look for another home. These things can follow family trees. So it's a spirit that was going after him. It's not the man. And as far as we know, the man was a Christian. Brother Branham wasn't dealing with, you're not saved, give your heart to the Lord. But he was dealing with the quality of his walk. Yet he's lived with this all of his life. He sensed the presence of this anointing or this demon, just as no doubt he sensed the presence of the Lord. Wonder what this man's testimony tonight would be. And again, message Abraham. Lady, we are strangers to each other. We are strangers to each other. I don't know you, but God knows you. Now quickly, I begin to see like a little dark shadow moving, and it's a wearisome spirit causing you to be nervous. I'm going to keep preaching this, friends. Over and over and over. You get real nervous, don't you? Well, yeah, it's just the way I am, and I just have to kind of put up with that. That's a lie. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Hang your pants on a telephone wire, devil. You get real nervous, don't you? You have a nervous condition. That's our testimony. I have a nervous condition. I see you kind of late in the afternoon like that. You get your most nervous, and sometimes you sit down from your work. That's right. Then you have something wrong in your back, kidney trouble that's in your back. And you're wearing your glasses, and that's from weak eyes. And that was caused from some kind of something that happened, like smallpox or something that settled in your eyes long ago. That is true. You believe you're in his presence? You believe that that's him speaking through me? That wasn't my voice then. That was his. Now this is mine. Do you believe then? If he's present to lay hands on you, what he'd say would happen? They shall recover. Is that right? Come here. This I do in obedience to the commandment of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let this woman be healed. Amen. God bless you, sister. Go rejoicing now, and God be merciful and bless you. Amen. Again, from expectation. He says, now, you're here because you're nervous. And that's the reason you act the way you do, is because you're nervous. And you're suffering from a shock. Is that right? A shock. And I see you was in an automobile accident that caused a shock that brought this on to you. And you're not from this city, neither are you from this state. You're from Michigan, and you've come here from a place called Crystal Falls or something or another on that order, away from here. That's right. You want to go home and be well? Well, then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe you're in his presence right now. Do you do it? This man sitting behind you, come with you. If you believe with all your heart, you can be made well. Do you believe it? Come here. Oh God, our Father, in the name of Jesus, thy Son, take away the curse and may our sister be made completely whole. I ask in Jesus Christ's name with my hands laid upon her. Amen. He says, something's quiet now. Friends, many of you, the Lord has led me, and when we prayed and we pray, Lord, may they have a good night's rest now and not be tormented. And may they wake up refreshed, and testimonies come back all the time. Yeah, I had the best night's sleep I had in a long time. Thing is, you got to hold on to that. Because whatever that was, it was causing that issue has every right to try to come back. But you have to recognize, you know what? I was set free from you. I don't have to let you back in. I can have a night like this every night. God wants me to have it. Amen. Something quiet now. You feel all right now? Now, if that's right, tell the audience, you feel all right? The lady says, I feel all right. Jesus makes you well. She says, yes, amen. See, are you German? No, I'm Finnish. Are you Finnish? Finnish? I don't know what that word is. K-I-I-T-O-S. I guess that's a greeting or something. He says, have faith in God. Do you believe me to be his prophet? Then go eat your supper. Your stomach trouble will go away from you, and it won't bother you no more. You believe that? Then go do as I tell you. Quit worrying. You're a deep thinker. You're always taking other people's troubles to yourself. I could look at some of you tonight, and you'd know that I know that you know that I know that that's what you do. And then you complain about how everybody's... Here's what you tell me. They're putting all this on me. No, you're taking it on. You see, if you won't take it, they won't put it on you. But you got a button. You got a target on you that says, hit me. And everybody can see that. But you have a choice. You can take that target and set it down. Say, I don't have to be treated this way. I'm not a trash can for everybody to come dump on. I wasn't put here to take everybody else's troubles upon myself and then worry. Come on, friends. I'm trying to help you. I mean, if it's okay for him to tell this woman, can I tell you that? You're always taking other people's troubles to yourself and crossing bridges before you get to it. You're always planning something that never happens. Where have we heard that before? Quit thinking like that. Listen to this. Be happy. Rejoice. Isn't that what we've been saying over and over and over again? Choose to be happy. I don't know where the people are tonight that need to hear this. How does the devil know that this is coming? Thank God we get a redo now and then. God, who's rich in mercy. It's a peptic ulcer. Can't help it. Makes your food sour and everything else in your stomach cramps you. It won't hurt you no more. Go on and eat and be happy and rejoice and serve Jesus Christ. Brother, coming with you comes a black spirit, which is death. It's a devil. Cancer. There's a lady sitting there also with cancer. Cancer on the pelvis bone. That's right. Is that right? I see you are, I hear somebody, your name is, you're Miss Roy Zeeks or something like that. Isn't that right? Wave your hand. That's right. Now that devil pulling between you, so there's a demon that's pulling between two people that have cancer. That devil pulling between you, it's off of both of you now. It's light between you now. Go believing with all your heart. So this is literally when the scripture says we're walking in the light as he is in the light. It's not just figurative. It's literal. There's literal light. Praise be to God. Satan lost that battle. Hallelujah. The devil calls one to another. They're screaming and they're calling one for help. That's the reason I call for your prayer. Pray for me. Help. Keep praying. You see, it's a power. It's a battle. It's the devil fight. Wrong fighting against right. Right against wrong. Quit being skeptic. Believe with all your heart. Be expecting you to be next. The Holy Spirit's healing all through the building. Be expecting to be next. Friends, we can have the same thing here tonight that took place in this meeting, and we don't need a special gift. We have the authority according to God's word, if you can believe. Now, what the outcome of that is, I don't know. I know the thing left them. There was a dark streak between them. And this one was calling for mercy. Help, help, help. Keep him from believing. This is in church. Help, help, help. Keep him from believing. Keep him from believing. I looked down to see where it was, and I seen the woman. I seen another woman called her and called, and I don't know what it was. Called something another. I couldn't make it out just right. And that dark streak all left then, and it turned light. And the Holy Spirit was moving between them. The life of it left. Have faith. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Again, from Jude chapter 1, Jude says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate," remember, every one of these angelic beings, they were created. They had a position. They had authority. They had a habitation. "The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." Verse 8, "Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities." What's behind this? What's causing that? These fallen angels. People are anointed of these spirits. "Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. He durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke thee.' But these speak evil of things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars." That's a star that's gotten out of its position. "To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." That word blackness in the Greek, blackness, darkness, used of the darkness of the nether world, or the fifth dimension, if you will. And the darkness, the word skotos, of night darkness, of darkened eyesight or blindness, metaphorical of ignorance respecting divine things and human deities, duties, and the accompanying ungodliness and immorality. If you're in darkness, you can't know right from wrong. You don't know what the standard is. But if you don't want to walk in the light, you never will know. Again, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, he says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So once again, these fallen angels, they still have positions. They still have principalities. They still have powers. They are still rulers. And because of that, it's a spiritual battle that you and I are caught up in. And yet we can see in types and shadows in the Old Testament, we can see God strike at Egypt physically in a supernatural way, but physically when Pharaoh refused to let Israel go. It's not a flesh and blood battle, but we can see it taking place in flesh and blood. It's showing us that it's a supernatural battle that our Lord is fighting. But he shows us through natural things. And he's showing us that he's fighting a war on behalf of his elect. David says in Psalm chapter 78, starting at verse 43, he says, how he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, and had turned their rivers into blood and their floods that they could not drink. He sent diverse sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. He gave also their increase unto the caterpillar, and their labor unto the locust. And he destroyed their vines with hail, and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle also to the hail, and their flocks to hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble, by sending evil angels among them. Think about it. God didn't do this, but he allowed these evil angels to be sent amongst them to carry this thing out. Just like the time when God was looking for a lying spirit to go down and get the prophets to all say the same thing. And so he said, which one of you wants to go? And there's one that said, pick me, pick me. God didn't cause him to lie. It was in him to lie. And it was done for a purpose. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world. As we saw this morning, there are demons that are ruling over different nations. There are demons that are American demons that are ruling over America, the United States, in particular, because America is a whole continent, right? Actually, it's two continents. There's North and South. We're a little bit, I think we're a little egotistical sometimes, right? Where do we live? America. Well, generally that's true, but specifically the U.S., right? So there are demons that rule over this nation that are different from the demons that rule over, say, Great Britain or a nation in South Africa or in Myanmar or Mexico. I mean, you just cross the border and you can actually feel a difference, right? It's because there's different principalities, powers. There's different demons. And we saw this morning that what causes wars are when these demons get jealous. The American political demons get jealous of, say, some other nation, right? Demons from another nation. They anoint men to start a war, but it's demons that's causing it. And when we recognize that, we recognize, you know what? Those positions were what man was created to inhabit. Those positions, being kings and priests, we were created to rule over the nations. We were created, and we will, during the millennium. We were created to say, no, this is how it's going to be done here, to have dominion, in other words. But when man fell from his position, these evil spirits moved in to man's position, and they've been squatting. But it's all in control. It's all going according to God's plan. It's not, we don't battle against politics. We don't battle against the demons that rule the different nations. We don't try to subdue them. What we try to do is, what we do is worry about the atmosphere that's around us. Again, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. All of us were. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. All of us. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. From the commentaries, the word prince, archon, it means one first in authority and power, and is then applied to anyone who has the preeminence or rule. It is applied to Satan, or the chief of the fallen angels, as where he is called the prince of devils. It seems I don't know, does it bother you? It bothers me to call him the prince of the power of the air. Because it just doesn't sound like he ought to be the prince of the power of the air. And the reason why it doesn't seem like he should be is because that's really not his position. But that's the position that he's squatting in that Adam forfeited. It's still Adam's position, but Adam forfeited that. But now it's time to take it back, friends. In the message, the deity of Jesus Christ, we'll just keep you a few more minutes here. Brother Branham says the religion of Christ never was popular. It's always been unpopular. The ways of God. Because the devil is the prince of the power of the air. He has all the governments. So friends, when we get so spun up and so, well, the government this and that. Well, duh. Right. Satan's running it. But also keep in mind that nothing can happen to you except God allows it. Amen. And that he's your comfort, your strength, your provider, your shield, your buckler. Amen. He has all the governments. Every government is controlled by the devil. Boy, wouldn't that be popular to say that at the convention? Devil said it was. That's right. He controls all the governments. Again, in The Mighty Conqueror, he says that's the reason we have wars and shooting and fighting. So take away all the guns, there's still going to be murder. Why? Because the guns don't kill. The devil does. I saw something a while back. It kind of makes me chuckle. It's maybe not laughing matter, but maybe I got a twisted sense of humor. But in it, you know, it says Americans drink wine and they've got, you know, the highest death rate or whatever. Italians drink wine and they have a lower. They're not affected by that, right? Americans eat this and this other nation, they eat that. And that isn't the problem, you know. On and on and on. It goes down the list. So it's trying to figure out why does America have the... What's peculiar to Americans that's causing them to have a higher death rate than all these other nations? And so they go through it line by line and they could find other nations that, okay, if it's this, okay, well, this other nation, they do the same thing and they still have a lower death rate, right? So I actually saw two versions of this, right? One of them came to the conclusion that it was speaking English that causes us to... The other one, it came to the conclusion that it's our diet, it's what we eat, right? So it's knives and forks that's killing us. So just take away the silverware and we'll be okay. Because that's a bigger killer than guns. That's the reason we have wars and shooting and fighting and trouble. Is because the kingdoms of this world is the kingdoms of the devil. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. That's right. Why art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? No man could see into glory. No man could understand because the power is just above us. Heaven means atmosphere above. And then all these powers was shut off from mankind because of sin. Now, if it was shut off from mankind because of sin, it shows that it once belonged to man. But the sin question has been settled. So it's no longer shut off. Who has more authority on the earth? A sinner that is... come under the blood of Jesus Christ, a son or daughter of God, or an archangel that never sinned? Who has more authority? A son of God, a daughter of God, showing what man, who man really is. Again, he says, it's happened in Germany when them 15 witch doctors, so Brother Branham was trying to have meetings in Germany, and there were a bunch of demonic-filled people that were trying to keep him from having a meeting, right?
15 witch doctors on each side of me said, because Billy and Brother Argenbright wouldn't let them see me, they said, well, we'll cause that tent to blow away. So they're having a tent meeting. And they sat down there with their enchantments and called on their god, the devil. And here he come with a storm. About 30,000, 40,000 Germans out there in that tent just raising up and down like this. Them and then cut and took a scissor and cut a feather and pointed it back like that. And saying there, going through all their enchantments and saying the three holy words, they said, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Listen to this. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. They're calling on the devil. Lu-lu-lu-lu-lu-lu-lu-lu. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Lu-lu-lu. Going like that. And actually the storm come up. So they're calling on the devil, and the devil caused a storm. Sure, he's the prince of the power of the air, Satan. And they called the storm. You say they can't do it. They can. And now even that great big tent setting out like that, oh my, it'd cover about a city block and built it up and built it out by 2x4s and just canvas tacked over it. The wind got under there and just raised it like that. And that wind and lightning flying like that, I just continued preaching. I've experienced that in Mexico a few times where we actually had rain coming. It was vertical. And we knew what was going on. We knew the devil was trying to break up the meeting. And we just kept on preaching. We just pressed on and it broke. He says, and oh, they was just going into big enchantment, going on and on like that, saying those little holy words, and they said the three high holy words, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, on both sides like that. Then I seen him bow. So it shows where that doctrine comes from. Then I seen him bow and surrounded by devils there, but not bound. And I said, Brother Loester, don't interpret this. I said, Brother Argenbright, just pray. I said, Lord God, creators of heavens and earth, you sent me here. I set my foot on this German soil in the name of Jesus Christ because you sent me here. That cloud has no power over me. It does not, because I'm anointed and I'm sent here for the salvation of this people. I command you in Jesus' name to depart from here. And the thunder's going, bang, 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 went grrr and rolled away. And right straight over the tent, blowed back, and the sun shined out. Within 10 minutes, there was about 10,000 around the altars and things, screaming for mercy to see the power of God. Why? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He is in the world, but greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Friends, if there isn't this contrast, if he isn't allowed to move and work through these things, how will we ever see the power of God? How will we ever see the vindication? How will he ever be proven to us? He's being proven to us in this life. Amen. Fear not tonight, friends. Take your position. Take what belongs to you. Don't settle for some condition. Don't settle for heredity. Don't settle for something off the family tree. Don't settle for something that maybe's been with you a good part of your life. You don't have to. He came to set the captive free. What does it mean to be free? And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We're walking in this marvelous light. As we said this morning, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. I will take what belongs to me. I will walk in it. We'll walk in this light. It's a beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Let's stand tonight, friends. Hallelujah. We need to be bold about this, not shy. You know, being raised in the denominational church, if somebody were to preach something like this, and if we were to hear it, we would have said, shh, You're not supposed to tempt the devil. You're going to make the devil mad. Show me anywhere in the scripture where it says, don't tempt the devil. That's misquoted scripture. It says, do not tempt the Lord thy God. We're not tempting the devil. We're just recognizing our place, our position. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. We're not antagonizing him. We're not teasing him or trying to make idle threats. We're just telling him, look, this is what belongs to me.
Amen.
Move off of my territory. Get off my land.
Amen.
Here's your eviction notice.
Amen.
Well, can I have 30 days? No, you've got exactly tonight.
Amen.
Tonight's your night.
Right.
Oh, but where am I going to go? Not my problem. Oh, but you need to feel sorry for me. I'm going to have to look all over to find another. You should have thought about that before you decided to rebel. You made your choice. I made my choice. I made the right choice. You made the wrong choice. You had every opportunity, devil. In fact, you had more opportunity than I did. Because you weren't born in sin. I was. You were perfect in all of your ways until you chose this path. And your son, the first one that showed up on the earth, he found himself in the same place as you. And God told him, look, I'll give you a space to repent. I recognize that you can't receive revelation. I recognize that I didn't tell you by revelation, provide this sacrifice. I did tell Abel, your brother, but I didn't tell you. But just go do what your brother did. Won't there be a place for you also? And you know what Cain's answer was? It doesn't read this way, but the outcome is exactly the same. His reply is basically, I would rather go to hell. I am not, you're giving me an opportunity, I'm not going to do it. I will not do what my brother did. I'm too proud. Well, have it your way. Go to hell if you want. But I'm not sending you to hell. You're choosing. Are you listening tonight? All this fear that religion wants to present to us, scare us into heaven. Hell wasn't created for you. Hell was created for Satan and his angels. If you go to hell, it's because you choose to. Because God will not send anyone to hell without extending mercy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad tonight, friends?
Amen.
And what we've got to do is quit listening to that devil. God wants me to make it.
Amen.
He wants me to overcome.
Amen.
He wants me to be restored.
Amen.
He wants to redeem me. He wants to put me back into my position.
Amen.
In spite of anything that I ever did. In spite of the shape that I was in when I came into this world. Despite of how deeply I was buried in sin.
Amen.
Humanity. Politics, perhaps. Whatever it might be. Friends, I don't care how deep you were buried. I don't care how deep you might be buried tonight. That light will find you.
Amen.
He's not willing that any should perish.
Amen.
And he's made a way.
Amen.
How much more for his elect?
Amen.
How much more for his offspring? How much more for his children?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's a good, good father.
Amen.
He's a good God, friends.
Amen.
He wants every good thing for you.
Amen.
And he's made every provision. We can be filled with joy in Satan's Eden.
Amen.
I can't think of a greater defeat for Lucifer than to allow him to give it his best shot, allow him to come up with his greatest form of what he thinks Eden is, and yet it's not holding you back at all. It's not harming you. It's not, you're not going to fall. You're overcoming. You're not deceived as those before you. You're not tarnished, spotted. You're overcoming.
Amen.
And you're overcoming by the word of your testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Somebody say, praise the Lord. That's the God I serve tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody say tonight, he's a good, good father. He's a good, good father. My father is the best father there is. You know, when we were in elementary school, we used to brag about our dads. We'd say stupid stuff. My dad could beat up your dad. My dog's bigger than your dog, that kind of stuff. But you believed that. Your dad was something special to you. Yet he's a human being. How much more your heavenly father? There's no one like my father. No one greater. No one wiser. No one more loving. No one more just. And he knows the way. And he has an expected end for me tonight. I just need to believe in it. The greatest compliment I can pay him tonight, friends, is to take him at his word. How many want to say tonight, God, I just want to take you at your word. The devil's telling me all kinds of lies. My past is telling me things. Demons are telling me things. Politics, the world. But I want to take you at your word. Your word is amen and amen. Everything that you're doing for me is to lift me up. Not beat me down. Not torment me. Not break me down. But to deliver me. That's the God you serve tonight, friends. That's the Father that we serve. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we bow our heads to the dust of the earth, Lord, I pray that you take this chopped up message here tonight, the thoughts that you put on our heart. Lord, we just trust that it'll find its resting place. Lord, our broken up ability sometimes. Lord, there are better speakers, there are better ones that could present it maybe in a better way. But Lord, I know what you put on my heart. And you know my heart, Lord. You know my desire is for the things that you desire. My desire is for each one of us to fully walk in what you've purchased for us. For each one of us to be at peace. For each one of us to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. For each one of us to, in the midst of our trials, we're not trying to pretend here tonight. We're not lying to the people. We're not saying you're not going to have a trial. What we're saying is in the midst of your trial, you can have peace. You can have rest. You can be in a condition where you're not in torment. And yet you're going through a trial. But you know it's only for a season. Father, I pray that you'd move upon each and every heart, that you minister to each and every one of us tonight, Lord, according to the measure of your goodness and your grace and your word, according to our needs tonight, Lord. I pray for your blessings to flow. Lord, may we not leave anything on the table. May we not leave anything unclaimed. If you've purchased, we want to receive. If you've restored, we want to walk in it. If you've given us an inheritance, we want to take possession of it. If you've given us a position, we want to step in it. If you've given us your word, we want to speak it. We want to stand on it. If you've given us exceeding great and precious promises, we want to take you at your word tonight, Lord. Help us, Lord, each and every one. Forgive us, Lord, for our slowness of heart at times, our unbelief at times. We don't want to be that way, Lord. We want to take you at your word. We don't want to accept what the enemy's telling us. We don't want to accept what our flesh tells us. We don't want to accept what our past tells us, our genetics perhaps, our nation, our culture. We want to take your word. Your word is true. Let your word be true and every man's word be a lie. We want to take you at your word. We want to prosper in health even as our soul prospers. We know that's your desire. We want to be overcomers in Satan's Eden. And we want it to bring you the honor and glory that is due you tonight, Lord. Bless each and every one. Let that light shine, Lord. The only light that there is in the bride. And Lord, the only light that the world is going to see, the only chance, if there's any seed out there, is that light that's shining from us. Someone will see it. Someone will be attracted. And that light will be drawn to it. And that seed will come forth. We believe that with all of our hearts. Let us not hide it. Let us let it shine, Lord. We know that that doesn't mean that we need to go around and tell everybody what we think and what we believe. What it means is allowing that life to be lived through us, taking you at your word. Each one of us is to live a sermon. Each one of us is to preach a sermon and use words if we have to. That life is what preaches the sermon. That life, the word lived out, is light. And that light is what will draw those seeds. And it's the only thing. In the midst of darkness, in the midst of turmoil, that light, Lord, every one of us ought to be ready to give an account of the hope of glory that's within us. Certainly in these uncertain times. Certainly in these shaking times. Where not only is the earth shaking, but the heavens also. Lord, someone that's not moving, that's not shaking, someone that's not afraid, someone that's confident, someone that's not blaming or holding on to things, but someone that's just has a peace that passes all understanding, surely that'll get somebody's attention. Especially in these nervous times. Minister to every heart, Lord. May each one of us be challenged to just step it up a little more, to recognize what belongs to us and to take more of a possession of it, to walk in it and allow you to manifest it in our lives. Grant it tonight, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. He's a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good.